shove the God who has revealed himself into the corner.
But if I can maintain my denial of his reality,
yes,
then I'm fine in my sin, and I don't have to deal with it.
Yes. And so as long as they say superficial, and that's when I think every Christian should
think about it. They can't spend any time thinking about it. They have to stay superficial to maintain that balance, because strictly if they already know, and they know, then the only way is to maintain that.
But I love what you said in the very beginning of this class, maybe like the second one in. It really struck me. It was as simple as, but there's still people who lay their heads down on the pillow at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be superficial at a level of being out, but when you're alone, mm-hmm. you know, there's that sense of that. I thought that was very good thought process on that.
So we put the seeds in, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit waters them, mm-hmm. and we leave the results to God.
Well, it's almost like, was it Dostoevsky that wrote Crime and Punishment? Tolstoy? I can't remember. Anyways, it's a great novel. It's a long novel. But it's about this guy that he commits the perfect crime, this murder. And he knows he's going to get away with it. And he does. Completely gets away with it. Except for here. Mm-hmm. And he's punished for the rest of his life. It's actually a fascinating story. It's 700-800 pages long. But really, really good.
Isn't that like the Edgar Allan Poe?
Similar to the tale of the Hardaway.
Yeah.
Dorian Hardaway. Yeah. There's a whole variety of
mechanisms. Yeah.
But it's getting into what you guys are talking about. Yeah. When left to ourselves, and it's just us and God in a sense, and there will come a day when every person stands before the Lord Almighty and gives an account. And that's just...
And there is, back in those recesses, that knowledge.
Yep.
Because that's what Romans 1:18, the wrath of God has been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's buried back in there. And some people are drunks trying to drown that voice in their past and all of that kind of stuff. They just can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, without God, and there is no absolute. All things become preference. Everything becomes permissible.
Well, it's like the teaching spelling now, and kids can spell however they want to start with. Like,
nice try, Johnny.
But like, what? That's not how you spell that, you know? I mean, like, where's the logic? It's all gone out the window because everything's relative, and so they're free to do that, you know, because they're maybe too young to understand how this. Oh, come on.
But
are you ever going to be old then?
Nobody can live without absolutes. Maybe I'll justify them. Well, they're my absolutes. But the fact that they exist at all, they're up in this category.
But see, you know, that kind of stuff, this is where it gets crazy. I think people that would say, oh, they just spell it however, they hold to a different absolute in their mind. The absolute is that we would do nothing to harm the psyche and self-esteem of a young, moldable person. So who are you to tell them that they're spelling it wrong when that could damage them emotionally? So let them spell it wrong.
Right.
The absolute is we are...
I understand, but I would say we are holding
to an absolute. And the absolute is not to damage this young, impressionable person.
Yeah.
And so who am I to correct them that 2 plus 2 is 4, or that you spell cat C-A-T, or because that's just going to damage them? And they would say that is the absolute. Above all else, protect the
king. And so now we start getting, well, where does that come from? Why does that thinking exist? And we start peeling back the layers. The archaeologist digging down there, we're going to get down to the basement of this. Why is it like? It didn't just happen. Or kind of some of the things that we get with history is there's events in history that have 300, 400, 500 years of building up to that event. And we see the event, and it's like it's ripped out of its context mm-hmm. of history. Mm-hmm. And then we pass judgment on it, on the event, without understanding the whole flow that led up to that. And there's very few things that 9/11 is one of those days of that the world changed. And but there's something that led up to it. Mm-hmm. Planning, purpose, all that kind of stuff. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about science again. But somebody looked up Genesis 3 and Ephesians 4. And we'll get to those in a minute. But there are, when they get into these classrooms, where's my scientific magic words? And I have this paper up here. It's, anybody wants it? Randy Guliuza is how it looks, but they pronounce it. He doesn't pronounce it the way it's spelled. It's really one of those, it's an Italian name, it's very different. But anyway, and he surveyed a variety of textbooks, and he's talking about, this is his fluff method, 5 minutes with a Darwinist. And one of the things he argues for is don't use the words belief or belief. Because once you do that, you shift it into a whole nother realm. And now it's my beliefs against your beliefs, which is the equivalent to my opinion against your opinion. And my opinion is always right. So don't ever use belief and beliefs when it comes into these kind of discussions. He says, I am less than persuaded that the evidence I'm seeing really explains things. Less than persuaded is kind of the way he would use it. And our point, what you're talking about kind of looks like a leap of faith. Because we're not doing that. And like I said, faith is trust in an authority. We have an authority. And we believe what he says. So do they. They just don't think about it much. Mm-hmm. And so part of our job is to point these things out to them so that they can see that. But he has this collection of, he calls them, that as Christians we can be free from magic words. And he has all of these things from textbooks. And arose. That one life form arose from another. Well, that's not very, this is what he's calling these scientific magic words. Emerged, appeared, give rise to. The miracle of evolution, derived, burst onto the scene, manufactured itself, on the way to becoming. Evolution drove, derived emergent properties. They get it fancier. And then lucky. We're here because we're lucky. So, and he said all of these came from textbooks. And Francis Crick, one of the co-discoverers of the structure of DNA, said biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. So if what it looks, you can't go by what it looks like, you have to keep in mind something else, a different absolute. Because it's your starting point, your presupposition. Since there is no God, even though it looks designed, and that's also what Richard Dawkins said, biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose. Give the appearance. And that was Darwin's great contribution, is he showed how there could be a watch without a watchmaker. And that's his Dawkins' book, is The Blind Watchmaker. Nature is the blind watchmaker. But in all of this discussion, they're using creation language. They're using the language of intelligence. Emerged, miracle, derived, burst on the scene, manufactured itself. But all of these are in an atheistic context. And so they become magic words. Rather than statements of truth. They have no idea how an amphibian emerged from a fish. But it did. It, so, there's, you're welcome to look through his analysis. Also, think about it. I got, if you bring me a USB drive, I'll fill it up with stuff, and I got a couple. If you anybody wants to take one, download it. There's 14 gigabytes of stuff on these. Audios, videos, books, just the stuff that's really impacted me in the last 10 years and affected my kind. It's the best of the best. I got about 200, 400 gigabytes of stuff at home, but I've been through all of it, and it's just stuff that's, and this is the best of the best. So if you want to take one, another analogy,
just bring it back.
Right. Yeah, so nobody else can have it. Or bring me one and I'll fill it up for you. But you think about these, say this one is empty and this one is full, which weighs more? This is an illustration on information. That information is abstract, immaterial. It doesn't have any mass. The mass of the full one is no different. It has the same exact same number of atoms. Mm-hmm. There's a state change of ones and zeros. But even that's a code that has to be interpreted. That information itself, we can print it out, make files. We can put it on the internet. We can put it on our screen. But it's still, it's information. This is the big miracle of, and it really, the information age was born at the exact same time that the DNA in the 50s was born. That, and Francis Crick, being a code breaker in World War II, recognized that DNA, like a code. And he was the first one to propose that. But if anybody wants them. Also, anybody seen this? This is great. Ben Stein, No Intelligence Allowed. It's a kind of a documentary on people who have lost their job for criticizing Darwinism. Starting with an atheist who, there's actually congressional investigations. He published a peer-reviewed article by Stephen Meyer, who's an intelligent design guy, and he was in the Smithsonian. And in charge of the publications there and stuff. And he made the foolish mistake of publishing an article by Stephen Meyer on intelligent design. And he was fired for it. And it launched congressional investigations and everything. He never got his job back. But he was kind of the first in this series of people who have been severely criticized, limited, reprimanded for questioning Darwin. And this is where the science, again, takes the back seat.
Yeah, and that's actually a pretty entertaining video if you haven't seen it. But I don't. Ben Stein does not profess Christ.
No, he is not a Christian.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's not.
He's concerned about academic freedom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have freedom as long as you stay in the box. Mm-hmm. You can talk about whatever you want, but when you start bringing in these other things, mm-hmm. then that's where, now you're no longer, in fact, well, many Marx of these guys won't even go to a creation science conference because one of their colleagues might see them and then they'll be labeled a creationist. Mm-hmm. So they don't even risk it.
Well, what's fascinating about this kind of stuff is you could have somebody who, for decades, was at the top of his profession and all the peer-reviewed articles, and I mean, mm-hmm. and as soon as he becomes a Christian or he questions something, everything that they were trumpeting for 30 years is now garbage.
Yeah,
it's all thrown out.
Yeah, when we first kind of started talking there, right at the very beginning of class, there was some of that kind of discussion, and people just get in all kinds of trouble. And there's others that they're shooting holes in the floor of their own boat by by pointing out that there are all of these problems that keep, we don't want to go down there. And institutions that are built to protect innocent students from God. That's 2 Corinthians 10. Those strongholds that are raised up against the knowledge of God is the ones we're to be going after. So with science, and this is how I remember, science means knowledge. Literally. But when you put a con in front of it, it becomes conscience. And your conscience is what you do with knowledge. The word con in front of a word means with. Mm-hmm. So it's what you do with knowledge. That's why it bugs you. Because you know better. And you do it in. And so this, the way we acquire knowledge, again, we have an authority. Even though we may not see something he says is true, but we believe it because he said it. Mm-hmm. Or we find it in scripture that it is our authority. And then I talked a while back about operational science. That's the how things work. Very little belief involved here. How to build a tablet. That doesn't have a whole lot to do with belief. It's technology. It's how things work. But then when we get into historical science, dealing with things in the past, it becomes forensic. We take tools that we have discovered that work here and try to push them into the past. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But increasingly, belief plays a role in historical science. And so when they say, all real scientists are evolutionists. Really? Oh, you believe in creation. You're anti-science. And so this is where the questions come out. What do you mean by science? Are you talking, don't you have a refrigerator? Don't you have air conditioning? Don't you have a stereo? And you believe in God? What's the matter with you? And these kind of things come up. Don't you use a cell phone? As though those things from operational science prove historical science, and they don't. They're two totally different realms of examination. And anybody can do these. Observers of how things work, of how economics works. People just observe how government works. I mean, there's all people just observing human nature, sociology. Well, most sociology is atheistic evolution anyway. Same with psychology, but when Christians do them properly, we discover how the soul works. That's what psyche in the Greek is the word for soul. So there is a way. God made the soul to work a certain way. And so the more we discover that, the more we can work with him. Same with sociology. Societies work a certain way. Unless we start with an atheistic presupposition, then the interpretations get all messed up. Then we have to not damage kids' psyches by telling them, you're wrong, you didn't spell that right, you didn't add that correctly, those kinds of things. So, but if truth